Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Ki. We're lucky enough to have Terry Savage in studio with us today. Go ahead and jot down the number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll take your text questions, and we also love hearing from you live over the phone. Terry cannot be stumped on any question at all. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the studio.
Except how low will this market go? That's
I
the only
know.
Thing that will stump me. Gee, I want to say something at
yes,
the
Yes, so much going on.
There's a lot of interest in the stock market today. And many of you know I've been around a long, long time in the financial markets. And I was on the trading floor in 73, 74. So I've seen a lot of bear markets in my life. Nobody, not me, not anybody, knows when a decline will turn into a bear market. So before you ask me your questions about the stock market, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Just clear your mind and answer, if you're sitting there alone or you're in the car, answer out loud. I'm going to give you a few facts and then I'm going to ask you some questions. We have now gone 11 years without a bear market. That's the longest time ever. The average bear market decline we're going since the 30s. The average bear market decline is about 33%. I myself have been through three to four bear market declines that have been on the of 48%. 73, 74 was like that. 87 wasn't that deep, but boy, was it scary because we thought the world was going mm-hmm. under. The dot-com bubble, which I warned about because I thought, gee, this can't go on, this bull market. And I felt foolish for being ahead of it by maybe even a year. And then, of course, 2008, 2009. Every time when the market is finally plummeting, I get invited. I love being here. I'm here every week. Everybody wants to hear what I say. And by the time the market's down 33, 35%, I got that speech memorized. It's called, don't sell into a big decline. Don't try to catch a falling knife. Never panic. But now I have this great opportunity to be here when we're down 4%. 4% from all-time highs in the longest bull market ever with the highest valuations of the stock market to the size of the economy. So now I'm going to ask you, what would be the worst thing in the world if I said to you, depending on your time horizon, sell 20% or 40% of your stock market exposure, maybe even 50%, and put it in a money market fund, and the market goes down 33%, just the average bear market, would you feel better about having done that? Or worse, if I tell you to do that and I'm dead wrong, there's so much money being printed all around the world, floating into the markets, the coronavirus is contained, if they came up with a new something to save it, then ask yourself, would you feel worse that you had half your money in cash and the Dow went to 35,000? You think about that while we take the break. I know G's looking at
me.
Because the question is, I know I don't know. But I also want to take the odds on my side at this stage in my life, and you need to do that in your life. It's not timing the market. It's called risk management.
G here with the Wintrust to Business Lunch. Terry Savage is in studio taking your questions via text and over the phone. We love to hear from you live, 312-981-7200. Of course, Terry is an expert on personal finance, the economy, and the markets. She's written several books, Savage Truth on Money. She also has a weekly column syndicated by the Tribune Agency, and her website, terrysavage.com, is a wealth of resources. And in fact, last week she wrote an article saying, beware of bonds, and look what happened.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week's column was about the stock market, mm-hmm. talking about the fact that all the good news was out there and nothing had hit the stock market yet. That got written late last week and went into syndication. Now, it's really interesting. It's sort of obvious if you step back. You know, people are just don't think about the consequences until it's too late. Let's take a look at what the market's doing now. It was down over 500. It's come back a little bit.
Terry, can you move your mic right in front of you? There you go.
Let me take a quick
look.
Yeah, we're down 470, I think, right now. Let me just refresh this. But people don't think about it. Nope, now we're down back over 550 now.
Okay.
So There's a lot of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. We've all been trained to buy the stock market on dips because for 10, 11 years now, that's what worked. And we were pretty sophisticated. Those who didn't sell out aren't talking. But down when the market plunged to 6,700 in 2009, spring of 2009, it was 6,700. But here we are, just 27,000.
So, Terry, here's a text question for you. It's from the 847. I'm 62 years old, and I have 70% in bonds, since we were just talking about bonds, and 30% in stocks. Is that okay? I'm retiring in 2 years. And, of course, the volatility is what's so scary for so many people close to retirement.
You're close to retirement. You know the world divides the market into the bulls and the bears. The bulls think it's going up. The bears think it's going down. I add a third category, the bulls, the bears, and the chickens. And you should have 20-plus percent of your money in what I call chicken money, money market funds, CDs in the bank, and treasury bills. Yes, it's horrible. The rates are so low. But I promise you, you won't lose any money there. And if you're that close to retirement at the end of a long bull market without knowing for sure what's going to happen, it makes sense. Now, the other thing I want to point out is you can lose as much money in bonds as you can in stocks. Stocks make the headlines. Everybody knows the Dow Jones Industrial Average. But if interest rates were to go back up because the Fed, it doesn't look like that's happening now. But two ways you can lose money. First is you own bonds and the company has a tough time. What if there is a global recession? Can they pay the interest on their bonds? You think you're in a bond fund. Oh, that's great. They're all investment grade. Today, the vast majority of bonds inside these bond funds are rated triple B, just one step above junk. And that's how the bond funds make their yield so attractive, because lower rating, higher yield. But if some of those companies have problems, they'll be put into junk category. They'll be sold. The prices will go down. You'll lose money in your bond fund. You can also lose if rates go up. So if you're that close to retirement, right now, we're 4% from the top of the market. Get rid of some of that stuff because you're going to need money to live on. And a bear market, it's not just the decline and then the bounce back that's scary. It's what happens if we have a bear market like the 70s, where the Dow was over 1,000. I remember that was a very big time in 1972. And it was still under 1,000 in 1982. And we had a whole decade. Well, there was some volatility in between. The market was never over 1,000 again until 1982 when the big bull market took off. So could you weather 10 years at lower levels, significantly lower levels, maybe 30 or 40% lower levels than we are now in retirement? Well, you're going to sell stuff at a loss. Better have cash.
Well, let's go to some callers now. Hi, Stan. This is G. What is your question for Terry?
Well, thank you both for taking my call today, first off. It's a kind of a three-parter. I'm looking at a new house. If she's doing a mortgage, can you tell me something about the mortgage stuff? I'm looking at putting a $50,000 down. Now, the question is, am I better off doing the big stroke on the down, or am I better off buying points down on a percentage, or both?
I'm going to make this very easy. You are about to have the opportunity of a lifetime, Stan. What's happened today, in addition to the market going down, is that just picture this global bathtub full of money. The spigots were pouring in from the Fed 10 years ago. Spigots have been pouring in from European central banks. China just turned on its spigots. That's all different currencies, right? But it's all global liquidity, and that money moves quickly. And when that money gets scared, it moves to the safest place. Now, we've got a lot going wrong in the United States right now on multiple levels. But all that global liquidity is coming right to the U.S., buying our treasury bills, notes, and bonds, our IOUs. And as a result, today, the 10-year treasury on which most mortgage rates are based is at its all-time forever low, a yield of 1.32%, which means get that mortgage at a fixed rate. I am predicting without any genius here whatsoever that in the next few weeks, barring some unexpected crisis, you're going to lock in a 30-year mortgage under 3%. And that will trigger something in the housing market. I'm not sure which, if it comes along with still an okay economy. So I would don't worry about buying down the points. lock in a fixed rate, and you should get deals all around. Stop in at Guaranteed Rate or Quicken's Rocket Mortgage. They move very quickly. Your local bank may not be so thrilled to give you low rates, but when you've got GuaranteedRate.com right here in Chicago, or online, basically, you can see the rates every single day.
Stan, thanks so much for your question. Let's move on to Rich. Hi, Rich. This is G. What's your question for Terry Savage?
Hi, G. My question is about gas prices. With oil so low, why are our gas prices so high? And secondly, each time there's an increase in gas prices, they go up by a minimum of a quarter, but only come down by pennies.
Wow, what a great insight. You know, every year about the spring driving season, I would sit here on WGN, used to do it with Steve Richard, and I used to have a joke about this. Are we going to do that story today? Yep. Because there's just a thing in the markets called inertia. I just mentioned your banks are not paying you the best rates on CDs. You have to search online at bankrate.com. Your mortgage lenders that are local and think they're your customer forever may not give you the lowest rate. And for the most egregious example of market pricing not going through to consumers, it's always been gasoline prices. We are having a real decline in energy prices, crude oil, because there's a sense the world will slow down, this whole virus thing. But it will not show up at the gas pump for quite a while. Plus, someone will figure out a way to add more taxes. So, good call. Yeah, don't expect to see gas prices plummet, but they should decline until somebody decides to take a refinery out of service just in time for the summer driving season, and then they'll shoot back up.
Great question, Rich, and sorry you won't see any bargains at the pump. Let's move on to Tom. What's your question for Terry Savage? Tom, thanks for calling in.
Terry, hi. In one of my funds, I have about 75% in U.S. equities, and it's moving down. A little uncomfortable. What's your opinion on that?
How much are you willing to lose, Tom?
Well, I'm retired, and my wife is going to retire in about 3 years. So,
Tom,
I don't want to lose much.
What's your much? Is 5% too much?
I would say that's about where I'd like to be at, yeah.
Okay, you'll probably 5%. Be there by the close of business today, down 5% from the highs.
Yeah. So, do you think
there's
I should...
There's an old saying. I can't do this over the phone. That'd be like if I were a doctor
right.
and you said, I've got this. I have a fever of 103. What do you think it could be?
You can't,
well, you know, I don't know if it's cancer or... I don't know, cancer does come with a fever or sore throat or coronavirus. What I'm telling you is right now, tonight, sit down. There's a great old saying. It's a savage truth, but it's older than dirt in the stock market. Sell down to the sleeping point. The very fact that you're asking me this question, you're retired. I don't know how old you are. I don't know what other assets. I don't know your income. I don't know your spending, your lifestyle. But the fact of the matter is, I do know that if you've been in this fund for 5 or 6 or 8 years, you've made a lot of money. Take a little off the table now. Nobody knows the exact top. As I said at the opening, I may be wrong. Maybe this will all blow over, and the next thing, and there's a lot of money created, inflation will come, you'll get another chance to get back in. But
Tom, are you losing?
Market goes up.
Tom, this is G. Are you losing sleep over this right now?
No, but it's something I'm concerned about, seeing what's going on with the stock market and stuff right now with the drop. I'm looking at it today, and it's like, wow.
I don't have the answer for you, Tom. But is it?
Oh yeah, I know that.
Is it in a 401k or an IRA?
IRA.
Fine. Is it at Fidelity or Vanguard?
No, it's not. It's with Raymond James.
With Raymond James, you are allowed to call them up and say, "Sell 25% of my position." If it's a fund, it'll get priced at the close today. Then two things can happen. It could bounce back up tomorrow, and you'll hate me. Send me an email, Terry@TerrySavage.com. I owe you a drink, or the market will keep going down, and you'll go, well, I didn't sell it all, but thank goodness I sold that. That's why I was never a great floor trader, Tom, when I was down on the CBOE. I'd go, I'm going to be long 10 of these. I'm a little worried about that. I'll sell 5 of those. And I pretty soon built up huge hedged positions. The time to hedge is before the disaster. Call up right now and say, I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm old. I just want to have that money. Sell 25% of my position. That was, if you were my brother, I'd tell you that. No matter what I know about you.
Well, Tom, we'll be curious what you end up doing tonight. Thanks so much for giving us a call.
Thank you.
A lot more coming up with Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. A lot more coming up with Terry Savage when we come back. So appreciate you keeping it on WGN Radio throughout your day. This is G with a Wintrust Business Lunch. A lot more with Terry Savage. Of course, she always has the Savage Truth on money. Let's take another caller.
Can we do this one?
Sure.
Someone just asked me about mortgages,
yes.
And I said any minute you're going to get under 3% for. So I called my buddy, Leslie Struthers at GuaranteedRate.com, Leslie@rate.com if you want a mortgage. Anyway, she said, I said, how close are we to 3% right mm-hmm. now? She said, we're at 3.375 now. Now, those rates were set a couple of days ago. Now, the long bond is, the interest rate is falling. But you know what she also said? 2.875% on a 15-year mortgage.
Wow.
Come on, folks. 2.875% might even go a bit lower. This, if you have, I just want to make this point, if you have a home equity loan or any kind of adjustable rate mortgage, I don't care if it's going to adjust lower than that. This is your lifetime chance to lock in a very low mortgage rate on the home you live in. And if crazy things happen, the one thing you want to be able to do is afford your home.
Absolutely.
Remember a decade ago? So lock in your low rate now.
Very strong words from Terry Savage. Lifetime opportunity and lock it in now. Okay, so let's go to Paul. Paul, this is G. What's your question for Terry?
Yes, good afternoon, Terry. I'm going to be taking out approximately $50,000, and I wanted to know if I would be better off to take it out of my 401k, and that would be penalty-free. I'm retired now at 57 years old, or take it out of my wife's 401k as a loan.
Can we ask what you're taking the money out to do?
Good for you, G.
To pay off some debt.
No, no, no.
I knew
no.
what Terry was going to say.
No, you can't do that. First of all, you will still have a penalty unless you take a structured payment over your lifetime out of your 401k, even though you're retired, because you're not 59 and a half yet. So
my pension was through the state of Illinois, so I do have a compounded annually pension of 3% increase, and we get to be able to withdraw penalty free.
Okay, here's the deal. There's got to be a better way. If I said to you, to anybody else, not you, because you work for the state, would you like to withdraw from your Social Security early to pay off your debt? A lot of people would say yes, but you can't. The whole point is to keep that growing for you. Now, one thing, you may look back and say, $50,000, I'm glad I got it out of the stock market. So first of all, look at what your choices are inside that retirement plan and see if there isn't a money market alternative now that you are retired. That's number one. Number two, I hope you're in great health. You retired too young. You got to think about what you could be doing now to pay down that debt. Don't take out a loan from your wife's, because anyway, they'll charge interest. It's her money. And besides which, if she leaves for any reason, it'll become immediately trigger a withdrawal and you'll pay taxes. To get $50,000 net out, you're going to have to take a lot more out to pay taxes. So my best advice for you, I mean, you need a financial planner, and I'm going to tell you where to get one. But the most important thing I could tell you is if you've got $50,000, and if you made $2,000, if you made $3,000 a month for the next few years, you could pay down that debt without withdrawing from your 401k, letting that grow for when you're older and you need it.
And Paul, I'm guessing that the logic behind your decision making is that you're probably paying a lot higher interest rate on your credit cards than the interest rate you could get from your wife's loan of her 401k.
Correct.
Yeah. So what's the average credit card interest rate that you're paying right now? Would you say like in the 20s, or would you say 18%?
Probably like 17, 16 to 18, something like that.
Yeah,
average.
That's a horrible thing to do. It's just that when you take money out of your 401k, not only do you pay taxes on it, in your case there is no penalty, I have a special situation, but you lose all the future growth. So that's a tough choice. If I always split things. I would allow you to net $25,000 out of your 401k, not knowing what the rest is. But the rest is to make a promise to yourself. You sound very vibrant. You're going to figure out a way to make some money.
So maybe
instead of being retired for the next 5 years.
Driving of Uber or driving Lyft maybe, or something else, a little side gig job.
I'm in the process of going back to looking for another job.
Gotcha.
So I'm in
this
the process
the
of doing that right now to help to be able to pay off the debt so I don't have to do this.
Exactly. You've got the priorities straight.
Well,
even despite those high rates. Because once you lose that money, it's gone.
Well, thank you, Paul, so much, and we hope you figured this out. Yeah. I think you've got some good options, though, so I think this is going to work out for you. Thanks so much for your call. Terry, I always know one thing. You're never going to tell somebody that they've... You usually tell everyone that they've retired too early. I've never heard you once say...
Well, you know, if you are physically able... I mean, we're living a different world than when people, you know, did physical labor. And right now, when there's low unemployment and a real demand for smart older people like us, who have some experience and work ethic and so forth, this is the time. That biggest difference in your old age, presuming God gives you an old age, is what you do between those years of 62 or 3 when people start thinking, I'll take it early, I'll retire, and 73, that 10 years, if you can avoid withdrawing and then keep working and maybe even contributing, that's going to make a huge difference.
We have time for just one more call. Mike, you are so lucky you got in. You are the last call we can take today. What's your question for Terry Savage?
The question I have, my daughter has accumulated a whole bunch of loans, and what is the best way to pay that off? She's starting to work now, but can't afford to pay off, but her loans have come due.
Okay, are you talking about student loans?
Student loans, correct.
Federal student loans or private loans that you co-signed?
Private, where I co-signed, and some of the loans are up to 10%.
That's ridiculous. So do you own a home?
Yes.
Okay. Let me divide these in half. Federal student loans, she should be paying as much as she can now. She could also get a deferment or a graduated payment, so she needs to deal with the federal student loan lender. If you go to terrysavage.com, there are lots of articles. My book has a whole chapter on it. Yours, however, that you co-signed, they're not going to refinance those because they know they've got you locked in. If you can take some equity out of your home and refinance your home now at a low interest rate of around 3% or a 15-year loan for less than 3%, you might be well off just to pay off those loans, pay it on your mortgage, at least part of the... Theoretically, although it went to student loans, but when you refinance your mortgage, nobody's going to look. At least the interest should be deductible.
Thanks, Mike, so much for your call, and best of luck with everything with your daughter's student loans. Terry, we are out of time now. Thank you so much for being in studio with us.
I love it when I get to come into the studio.
Oh, we love it when you're here. Terry Savage, check out her website, terrysavage.com. There's a ton of resources on there, and she, in fact, will answer any questions you submit. There's a big button that says Ask Terry, and she stays up all night answering questions because she's a night owl. Thanks, Terry, and a lot more coming up here on WGN Radio. So appreciate your phone calls and your text messages and your questions for Terry Savage. She'll be back next week. And if you have a burning question that you want her to get to right away, please check out her website, terrysavage.com. Again, thank you so much for all the questions, and she'll be back next week. Joining the Winter's Business Lunch now is WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth. We're going to talk about some business trending stories. Amy, what you got?
Well, you know, a big theme today is around transportation. I have a lot of transportation themed stories here. One is that the CTA is going to do a pilot program to allow payment and boarding at all doors. You know, there's the back door of the bus. Of course, if you step too close to it while you're riding the bus, the bus driver will scream at you and tell you to get away from the bus or away from the door. So there's a pilot that's going to allow it. You could get on at either door and you can swipe your, you know, your Venture card or your debit or whatever. You can do that. What the idea is, it'll reduce times that you're sitting.
It's going to be so much more expedient.
I mean, if you're me, I'm crestfallen at this news because I'm always running after the bus. So I want those times to be long so I can catch the darn thing. But it would be very efficient. It would be really efficient, especially those super long buses with lots of.
Absolutely.
There's always somebody not scooting in the middle. So there's this big gap of space. And this might kind of help mitigate some of that.
I always try to go all the way in the middle. Even with the train cars, I try to go in and stand in the middle. So that way everyone's not just crowded around the doors. And I think this bus idea is perfect, especially for moments when the bus has to lower itself and become wheelchair accessible.
That's right.
Because that takes a little bit of time, so it's make it expedient for other folks
to get
load in the other door. Right. So that's a great idea.
So it'll be tested this summer along along a couple of different routes. So we shall see what happens maybe or late summer, early fall. We'll see if that if it works. Maybe we'll see more.
I am for anything that makes riding the bus easier because sometimes it is not so enjoyable. I'm just ready for summer right now because it's all the winter smells are happening.
That's what I was going to say. How do I say that nicely?
And
it's
the trains.
Winter smells.
Winter yeah. smells.
It's a little cruddy on there. I mean, just like the clean
right,
factor.
There's salt. There's
kinda
snow.
Cruddy.
There's, you know.
Then the winter smells.
Mm-hmm, yes. Winter smells.
So. I think winter smells. That's nice. Okay. And then two pieces of news about local airline United. So they have changed their 2020 their profit forecast on coronavirus outbreak, you know, on all the news around that. There's a lot of companies that are saying, hey, we have a, you know, a manufacturing or a transportation hub or something like that in China. Therefore, you know, factories are closed, things like that. Well, United is one of the biggest U.S. carriers to along Asian routes. And so they've had to suspend a lot of travel through April. And so they're still saying, you know, if the outbreak clears up by mid-May and the 5 months that follow travel goes totally back to normal, we still might see an okay, you know, year-end turnout, but not looking great. But unrelated to that, there's another piece of United Airlines news, and that is they have just changed their checked bag fee. They've raised it by $5.
Oh, they've raised it. So this isn't good news.
No. Well, you know, it's a struggle time. I mean, I said this yesterday. It's a really interesting time
for airlines.
And
the travel industry.
Yeah, we've had this specter of the Boeing crisis looming over carriers for almost a year now. That crisis is almost 1 year, 1 year old, the 737 MAX. So, you know, you've had that going on all year. On top of this, you have a lot of complications due to travel. Therefore, here we are. So now they've increased the checked bag fee by $5. So the first bag is now $35 each way. The second is $45. So that's not nothing. That's not insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Basically, you just have to travel with a very small backpack.
Just put all of your clothes
on
in layers.
Items.
And carry your purse and go.
There was a prankster that tried to do that. He had 30 layers of clothing on, Google it, and he got in trouble.
I pride myself on being, I pack very light, and I have had to check a bag twice in my life, and both times I felt like I was defeated.
Well, hopefully a solution will come up soon. I saw a report that a biotech company is testing out its coronavirus vaccine, entering its first phases of testing. So some fast food news for you, Amy Guth, because I can't ever not give you fast food advice
okay,
when I see you. And of course, this is relates to McDonald's, which is locally based. The Golden Arches is dipping into a pot of gold to mark the 50th anniversary of its Shamrock Shake. It's going to offer an 18-karat gold cup, jewel and diamond encrusted.
Come on.
Called the Golden Shamrock Shake. The bid starting at $1. So McDonald's announced this today. So it's a 10-day eBay auction.
There's
that
one.
Ends, yes.
Okay.
Ends at 5 a.m. Eastern Time on March 6th, with proceeds from the winning bid going to support a wonderful cause, Ronald McDonald House Charities. So if you really want a cup that has emeralds encrusted with diamonds and yellow diamonds, because just white diamonds aren't enough. You have to have the yellow diamonds as well. It's worth approximately $90,000. It took a team of jewelers over 140 hours to make. And of course, this is all to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the popular mint-flavored Shamrock Shake.
I mean, to be fair, that thing does have a cult following. People get real excited. Like the day that starts, people are all over it. It sometimes trends on Twitter. It's a big thing. I never thought it was a big enough thing to warrant a very fancy $90,000 cup, but here we are.
But think how much better the shake will taste when it's in a jewel-encrusted golden cup.
Oh, no. That thing goes into a case. No, that doesn't go in the dishwasher.
Thanks to Amy Guth. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.